You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to The Breakfast Table.
Hey guys, it's Darshan.
And I'm your host, Brad, and we are here to talk about the summer of movies. So this summer has seen a lot of great movies come out, and I know we've both been going to the theater a lot this summer.
Yeah, I've
to
been
see
going quite a bit.
Oh yeah, yeah, to see all these amazing movies. And so we don't always get a chance to talk about them on the show, so we're going to take the opportunity to talk about them now.
Yeah, it's kind of like our summer in review, you know,
yeah.
Now that, you know, the season has changed and back to school season is here, you know, maybe you can sit down on a Friday night and chill and watch one of these summer blockbusters that you might have missed in your past few months.
Yeah, like the summer season starts at the beginning of May. So this year, Marvel decided that they were going to decide to put Infinity War the week right before summer. So
a little bit earlier than usual.
Yeah.
Usually they come out in May, but yeah, you said like, I think it was April that they came out.
Yeah, it came out in April. So it technically doesn't count as a summer movie, which is one of those strange things. It's pretty much Disney going, yeah, this movie is going to be so good, we don't even need it to be in the summer for that category of movies.
Well, I think they did a smart move by releasing it early a few weeks in April. And the reason why is because they wanted to make more revenue during the month of April instead of the month of May, because they realized what they had to compete with during May, which I think was
pretty much themselves.
Yeah, themselves again.
Yeah. They had to compete against themselves. But starting with movies that did actually release in May and start that off, the big one that really kicked it off was Deadpool 2. And for anybody that hasn't seen this movie, it is now out on Blu-ray, DVD, 4K, streaming on, I can't remember, you can get it through, I think, Amazon streaming.
Didn't you
now
see some sort of certain edition of it, Brad?
Oh, yeah. There's
what was
the
it?
The new Super Duper Cut, which adds an extra like 15 minutes of footage to it, which some of it is really good, and some of it you kind of watch and go, I see why they cut that out. Like at the beginning of the movie when he goes to kill himself, there's actually an extended scene where you see him try and kill himself multiple times, like jumping into a habitat at the zoo and jumping off of a building and all this other crazy stuff.
Okay.
And they change some of the jokes around and everything. Some of them work a lot better. Some of them do not. And it's, if you're a fan of the movie, I highly recommend checking out the Super Duper Cut. And also check out the commentary track with Ryan Reynolds, Rhett Reese, and the other writer. I can't remember his name right now. I want to say Leach, but it's definitely one to check out, because just hearing them banter and talk about the movie is so much fun, especially since they recorded it before the movie even came out in theaters. So they were basically speculating on what people would get excited about throughout the entire thing, which was really cool. Especially when they're talking about like how things kept secret and everything, and how they were watching like an earlier version of the movie too.
So they like were, a pre-release.
Yeah, so they were watching one where all the visual effects weren't exactly done, because it was before the movie came out in the theaters. So they're even going, "Oh man, I hope that scene looks a lot better when it comes out in theaters." And so it's really cool to get the behind the scenes, and I'm a fan of commentary tracks, so that, of course, was one of the first things I did after I watched the Super Duper Cut, was watch it, the original again with the commentary, and it's fantastic.
Now, after that, we went into Star Wars land a little bit, because, you know, pre-Memorial Day weekend, I think it was.
Yes, it came out May 25th, if I recall correctly. And yeah, that movie was...
It was pretty much Han Solo doing the Kessel Run in, what is it, 15 parsecs or something like that?
That was a whole 10 seconds of the movie.
I thought that was the whole movie.
No.
In a nutshell. That's what I got out of it.
That was 10 seconds of the movie. The rest of the movie was just a lot of things that made Han seem less like Han.
Wait. Let me ask you this. Outside of those 10 seconds, did any of the movie really matter?
even counting those 10 seconds, did any of the movie really matter? Let's be honest here.
I don't know, man. Like, I saw it, and I think I slowly started forgetting what I saw as soon as I started walking out of the parking lot with that one. That was just me and my experience with that.
I wish I could forget that movie, but it has just so many scenes that even outside of Star Wars fandom and everything like that, because, yeah, I'm a fan of Star Wars, but I'm not one of those diehard people like, oh my God, they changed how he got the dice and what those mean and everything.
Oh, like, and what's canon and what's not canon anymore. Yeah, at this point, you can't care about that. You got to take it for what it is. And, you know, just it's Disney.
Yeah.
It's just Disney.
Like, there's a lot more wrong with that movie, in my opinion, than just that kind of stuff. The story just didn't really grab me. The side characters were more interesting to me than Han and Chewie, 100%. I wanted to see a lot more of them. This movie actually made me go, I want to see a movie on that trio of characters that are the kind of like scavengers, and I want to see more on that, like, empire that's run by Darth Maul, and I want to see more on, you know, Lando. Pretty much that movie made me go, I want more on everything that happened around Han and Chewie.
Yeah,
because everything else was interesting. I don't know if it was because of the acting between Han and Chewie that just made me go,
and Lando, because I was personally enticed by Donald Glover's acting ability as Lando within the film, at least me personally.
I can honestly say Donald Glover has now become the worst thing that can happen to any movie, because he just takes away from any movie, and I just can't focus
Haters
on anything but him.
Well, in a good way, I guess.
Yeah, like, I love his performance in every movie to the point that I can't enjoy the rest of the movie.
Like,
when
who's that other main guy that's in the movie that plays Han? I don't know, but
yeah.
Donald Glover was, you know, Lando Calrissian, and he did a pretty good job. So, you know, for what it was and what it was worth, and it's kind of like a prequel filler movie in between type of thing going on, it was all right.
But
it's not like I can expect it to be one of, like, episodes, you know, what are they coming out with, like 10, 11, 12 now? So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's not one of the greater
ones
that are going to be there soon, you know, in the next decade.
Yeah, I just wish we got more Lando in this Lando movie, because that would have been nice.
They'll just milk the franchising, you know, merchandising.
I'm still waiting for Spaceballs 2, The Quest for More Money. It's not happening. Makes me sad.
I know.
But kind of continuing on with the movies that did release over the course of the summer, Upgrade was one. And I know, Darshan, you actually saw that one.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was one of those movies that I didn't purposely see the trailer on. I just walked in completely blind, not knowing or understanding what I was walking into. I didn't see a single thing. I just was like, all right, maybe this is a cool Friday night movie, and this might be, you know, kind of worth my while. And I purposefully didn't see the trailer, like I said, and I was like, I'm going to go in and blind and see what it's like. And you know what? I was very, very impressed with what I, you know, went in and came out and saw. It was quite entertaining. If you want something that's action-packed, got a lot of cool fighting, you know, kind of has that little technology, you know, incorporation in between, and, you know, mind over matter and AI and this and that. Like, I don't know. It's cool. It's cool to check out, you know, if you want to kind of turn your brain off and lay there on the couch and watch something that's action based, but also a little bit tech related as well.
So, good action movie, but not very smart action movie.
Yeah, it's not a very smart action movie. Like, I guess you could kind of call the shots with everything that happens, but the twist is still pretty good. So it's worth checking out.
That's fair.
Yeah, but I did like it, and I gave it a good review overall. So it's worth at least checking out. From at least an unexpected standpoint for me, for my entertainment.
If I recall correctly, that one actually is coming out on Blu-ray very soon as well. Yeah,
unexpected entertainment value is the best way I could put it for me.
Okay. So following that, we got Superfly, which was the black exploitation remake of the original Superfly. Very different from the original. And that did.
Did you even have an opportunity to see it? I didn't.
I did actually see this
you
one.
Did.
I saw it with
Ferris. You saw
Ferris.
Yeah.
I did. And yeah, it's very different from the original. In some good ways and some very, very, very terrible, how could you do that ways.
Was the soundtrack at least decent?
The soundtrack was very modern.
Modern? So it was a modern twist on a past time?
Very much so. It's definitely still a blaxploitation movie.
Okay.
It does have some good story elements to it, but if you were a fan of the first one, this remake is one that you probably want to steer clear of.
Oh, okay.
Because it is just going to upset you. It's kind of like the Ghostbusters effect where if it wasn't a remake of a movie, it would probably just fly under the radar. But because it's a remake of a movie, everybody that saw the original and loved it hates this one because of the changes it made. So if you've never saw the original one, it's not the worst movie ever. It could be better, but it's not the worst movie ever. If you saw the original, just skip it. You're not going to enjoy this one at all, especially if you liked it. But then we got the movie that everybody has been waiting for.
I mean, that Pixar.
Yeah.
Was it 10 years?
10 years.
My God. 10 years. A decade. A decade since those little children's seen this movie.
Yeah, because the original came out in 2004. So it was almost 15
years. Oh, by the way, we're talking about Incredibles 2.
Yes, Incredibles 2. I think everybody should be able to pick up as soon as just over 10 years of waiting for a sequel that came out this year.
That's Pixar, it. 10 years.
Yeah. But Incredibles 2, Incredibles, fantastic movie, still one of the best by Pixar to this day. Incredibles 2, up the ante on it, 100%.
You know what's funny?
It was great.
They picked up right where they left off.
They did.
That was the craziest part. And it's like it never skipped a beat. Like, where did the last 10 years of my life went?
Well, Brad Bird doesn't do sequels at all. So this is the first sequel. If I recall correctly, at least, he might have done some little shorts and things like that from some of his properties. But this is the first sequel he's ever really done.
Yeah, by the way, this hit over like $1 billion in revenue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Especially for an animated feature, it blew the water out of Finding Dory. Which was the previous, highest box office opening and overall for a animated feature. So it's definitely hitting box office revenue. And people want a third movie, and it may or may not actually happen. Or we'll be sitting here in 15 years going, Incredibles 3 was amazing too! How does he do it?
At this point, 15, and then... taking the grandkids to Incredibles Land.
Yeah.
In Disney Orlando.
I can't wait until 2030 when I can see Incredibles 3. It's going to be great. Hopefully that one will be in VR or whatever way we're watching movies at that point.
Holograph immersion?
Yes.
I would like to see.
Yeah, it's no longer movies. It's just interactive games at that point.
Yeah. It's just like mixed reality.
But yeah, that one, it did a lot that it took a lot of risks with it because it flipped the entire, stay at home dad thing, and it had Miss Incredible or Elastigirl as the hero that is saving everybody throughout the movie. The villains were actually well developed. It's a very easy to tell twist, but it's a kid's movie. You can't really get too upset about it. Everything is just so well done in this movie.
Even the fast cut scenes that you could easily tell would never be doable in the real world, but they were so well edited and designed in such a way where, like, the action scenes, like, you can only replicate something like that with, like, computer-generated imaging and graphics.
You know,
there's just no other way, So it was good. I liked the way that it was – they did a good job. It was great quality and – if you haven't seen it, it's obviously worth seeing. It's worth your time.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, find a theater that's still playing and go see it, or wait and
I'm
pick
sure
it up
the,
on
yeah
Blu-ray.
Pick it up. It'll come out soon.
Yeah, that's one that nobody should miss out on seeing, especially if you saw the first one. It doesn't leave any slack at all. It picks up exactly where it left off, and it keeps running. It doesn't slow down. It's not in that kind of bad sequel territory. It comes, it does exactly what the first one did right, and it runs with it completely. And even every returning cast member is great in it as well. Because you have Samuel Jackson returning as Frozone. You have everybody returned, actually, except for Dash.
It doesn't skip a beat. Yeah. That's it.
I think the only person that didn't return was the voice of Dash, and that's because he kind of just grew up a little bit too much for the role.
Oh, really? The kid voice?
I want to say it was Dash that ended up being recast.
Sorry, kid. Can't have this role. Yeah. Why? Puberty.
No, because before he was going through puberty, and now he's out of it.
It's time to change.
But next comes a movie that I think sadly will end up getting kind of tossed off people's radar because it came and it kind of went without too much buzz, and that was Tag.
Had a good cast.
It had a fantastic cast. The movie was fun.
Yeah.
I
laughed.
Oh, yeah. I laughed throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's got a good plot. It's got a great cast. The jokes don't always land, but they land a lot of the time. And the characters are actually developed to a point that you believe every single character. They don't fall into a trope of a character. They feel like real people. And when they say something, you go, you could probably give me a quote from that movie and I'd be able to tell you who said it without having memory of the scene. Because each character is established that well. And I just love movies that manage to do that, which without the characters falling into a trope of here's the tough guy, here's the nerdy guy, here's this guy.
It's kind of like, you know, even the way that like Goodfellas would do, or like in the sense of like even The Godfather. Mm-hmm. Not to compare this movie to that, but like where you're saying
you're comparing this movie to The Godfather,
like the way that they kind of define the characters is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they definitely managed to define
the characters.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
100%. And John Hamm, Hannibal Buress.
I like Hannibal. Hannibal is my favorite.
Hannibal was great.
Time is nothing but a concept. That's my favorite quote.
Yeah. Jake Johnson, you had Jeremy Renner, and...
Or no. Time is nothing but a construct. That's what it is. Yeah.
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 It's a fantastic movie.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely go see it. And
it'll give you a laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sadly, after you see it, you're going to forget about it, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that
to
was
watch.
Another one as I was walking out of the parking lot I forgot about. It reminded me of how I forgot about Game Night, if you remember Game Night.
Yeah, another fun movie that just sadly...
I don't know.
It's not going to be kind of mentioned anywhere past its... when it releases on Blu-ray, people are going to go, oh, I remember seeing that in theaters. That was good. Let's buy it. And then they'll put it on their shelf and forget about it.
Still wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, never opened. Never watched again, sadly.
And then you're like, oh, it's on streaming. And I'm like, why did I even buy that anyways?
Yeah, in 2 years when it pops up on Netflix, just watch it again. You'll enjoy it again. Then we got a dumpster fire of a movie, also known as Horrible Movie, that should have never happened and should have never come out, Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen, should have fallen, yes.
Oh, that Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Dude, to me, I swear to you, this was like a filler movie because I know that they're going to pump out like six more of these movies, I swear to God.
I wouldn't even give it that title. It just was a dumpster
Jurassic,
fire.
Jurassic something filler movie in disguise. That's what I call it. I know some people really liked it because they're really infatuated with the franchise and like, you know, there's a whole thing out there for it, like a community. But at the same time, I want to see where it takes it. And I want to see where it goes. And maybe for some people, this might be a cult of a classic that we just don't see yet.
No, not at all.
I don't know. I think that people might like this.
So are you saying that at some point people are going to be going and throwing parties? No. You said your thing.
Okay, kindergarteners, yes.
You're saying that eventually, in the future, people are going to be having parties where they dress up as characters from Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, the same way that they do The Big Lebowski or Ace Ventura.
Well, they already got those giant inflatable like raptor costumes going around the world anyways.
Nothing to do with Jurassic
Park. Yeah, it is, because it's easy to throw a Jurassic Park party. It's not even – they did a PenguinCon last year, for Christ's sakes.
That's – those are just T-Rex blow-up costumes.
Yeah.
They're not anything
that's
with Jurassic Park.
That's a Jurassic Park theme. What do you – I mean, now you're dictating the difference between what's a themed-out Jurassic Park party and a dinosaur party? Come on.
So what you're saying is anybody that rides a Jeep or has a Jeep is a fan of Jurassic Park, and that's the only reason they have it is because
of
Jurassic Park.
All I'm saying is that you and I clearly know that they're going to pump out like six more of these, and I'm just curious to see.
And each of them are going to be a dumpster fire after dumpster fire.
Maybe, but I'm curious to see where they go. I'm still going to see them anyways, so I'm curious to see where they're going
to
go.
I want them to stop. That's where I want them to go, just directly into a wall where they stop.
Just ride the train and join it. Just join it into the wall.
No, that is not how you look at these movies. If a movie doesn't have a good plot, interesting. So the biggest gripe I have with this movie is everything is so choreographed out from previous movies. You can probably put every single scene in this movie and go, they stole that from Jurassic Park. They stole that part from Jurassic Park Lost World. They stole that part from Jurassic Park 3. Everything is a copy. There is nothing original about this movie except, oh my God, the daughter's a clone. Okay, scrap that entire plot sequence until the very end. It's a terrible movie with characters that you're so uninterested in. You're looking at them and going, please get eaten by a dinosaur. For the love of God, please die so you stop showing up on the screen. Oh, of course, you made it out of there because the movie
is too
wimpy.
Man, you're getting way too critical.
I hate this movie with a passion, and
you're getting way too analytical with this, my man.
No, this is a terrible movie, and this is what is wrong with Hollywood.
You can't walk – okay, yeah, obviously. We all know that. You know, I hope you know the difference between real news and fake news, Brad.
You just
This is real movie and fake movie, okay? We know this. So you go in, walking in with the mindset that's turned off, then you'll enjoy it. But if you go in with that critical, analytical type of perspective, you're not going to have a good time. That's what I'm saying. So I'm looking forward to maybe the few more that are coming out. But it's not like, you know, hey – it's a big deal or anything.
You just said this might be a cult classic.
It could be. Yeah.
Like, no.
Dude, Planet of the Apes. Dude, they made like eight of those and they all suck. And that's a cult classic.
The first one was a good movie.
I'm not talking about the Marky Mark Wahlberg one. I'm talking one from the 70s, okay?
Yeah. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
That
the
movie
first one, but you know how many
they
made? Like so many of them, dude.
Yeah, nobody talks about the rest of them.
But they still made them. You know, and there's a whole like universe, and somehow decades later, just like this movie, they spun off and made another one, and now there's a whole bunch of other ones.
So what you're saying is, if a movie just keeps making sequels that nobody talks about, it's okay.
Dude, I'm just saying that history's repeating itself. We are living in a simulation. Just enjoy the train ride that we're in, and enjoy where we're gonna crash.
I would enjoy it if they stopped coming out with terrible movies Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. But alas,
it's gonna
they keep coming out with these dumpster fire of movies.
Yeah. It is – okay.
There's no way you can sit and enjoy this movie. I don't care who you are. There is no way you can sit down and go, that was a good movie. Unless you are brain dead from some disease that you got in the theater.
Let's check out the dinosaur movie. You know, they got toys. They got franchises. It's a video game at Dave & Buster's. It's a thing.
Okay, Jurassic Park is a good movie, and it has a lot of stuff stringing off of it that is good, like video games and stuff. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom will never hit that. And if it does, I'm going to kill myself because I don't want to live in
this
world.
Just one movie.
No, you said specifically this movie will become a cult classic.
I'm saying, well, the franchise will. Like,
the franchise already is a cult classic because of Jurassic Park. We don't need more of these shitty sequels to it. We got the good movie already.
Well, there's like kids out there and
they can
studios.
Watch Jurassic Park. It's
dude,
a great
that's
movie.
Not, that's not what
up.
Happens in Hollywood. You know as well as I do that 20 to 30 years after a franchise disappears, they revive it and they make a shitty version of it.
Right.
It's obvious that we all know that. So what is to say?
I'm well, how not are saying.
Dude, look, the female version of Ghostbusters, like you brought that up, right? Like,
yeah.
We're all talking about the cycle continues. So what are we really, you know, arguing about? Are we on the same page or what?
I'm saying this is a terrible movie. It shouldn't have been made, and I hate everybody that was involved in making it.
There's a lot of terrible movies in Hollywood that come out, you know, that have never should have been made, and you know, you just got to sit there and either take
and
it for what it is.
You literally said that this
and they're
going to
make more,
classic.
Brett. They're going to make like six more.
I don't care about those ones. I care about this one that came out and it's already a dumpster fire.
I can't wait till you see the next like Predator movie, and like I want your critical analysis on that.
If it ends up being a terrible movie, I will rip it apart the same way I ripped apart this dumpster fire of terrible CG. God-awful acting and characters that I just wish they all died at the end so the franchise could go somewhere else. Because I'm not saying I never want to see Jurassic Park ever again. I don't want to see anything to do with this Jurassic World ever again. Just kill off all the characters, start from scratch. Let's do this over again.
There's no going back, so you might as well just ride the train.
As much as I love Chris Pratt, for the love of God, Chris, please don't sign on for another movie. Do something good.
It's too much money.
I just don't want to see another one of these movies.
Get used to it.
Let's move on to a great movie. A sequel that is definitely worth checking out. Ant-Man and the Wasp. So,
man,
this one was good.
There was a lot of Marvel movies this year. Let me tell you.
There were three.
Was there three? Yeah, there was three. Yeah.
There were a lot of... Well, yeah, it's
last
like,
year, we had how many?
Three.
Three? That's a lot.
And the year before that, three.
Used to. Wow.
Yeah, three has become the norm for Marvel movies.
So they usually have one, what, like in March? And then they have one...
We get one in like the first quarter. Then we get two during like the summer. And then it's blank until the next year.
Okay.
So this year we got Black Panther in February. Then we got Avengers Infinity War in April. Then June we got Ant-Man and the Wasp. Next year is March with Captain Marvel. May with Avengers 4 and June with Spider-Man Homecoming 2. Or Spider-Man Homecoming Far From Home.
Yeah, Far From Home.
Because, yeah, it actually has a subtitle now. But, yeah, because Ant-Man and the Wasp was the last Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. We also still have the other Marvel movies like Deadpool 2, and I think we're supposed
to have... That's technically counts, so 4.
Yeah.
But it was Fox instead of Disney.
Then we still have New Mutants coming next year along with the Dark Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, we got an X-Men movie coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's supposed to come out next year, I think, still. Maybe. If it does. Who knows? But Ant-Man and the Wasp was a fantastic movie that came out, starring Paul Rudd and reprising his role as Ant-Man, obviously. It just... This is how you do a sequel. You want to know how you don't do a terrible sequel? You make me care about the characters. So when they're put in a position where I go, oh, I want to punch that guy in the face for putting this character in this position. That is a good movie. When I hate somebody in the movie because they're a bad person, that is how you make a good movie. And then when you make me feel sympathetic for somebody that's a bad person in the movie, that's how you make a good movie. That's what this movie did. It managed to... So after Infinity War... which was this whole the world is going to end movie.
Don't tell anybody.
Ant-Man, well, everybody knew that's what it was going to be.
Oh, my God.
Because Thanos
spoiler
is
alert. Brad.
That's not a spoiler. If you were being spoiled by the fact that Avengers 3 was going to be this the world is ending movie, you haven't been paying attention to Marvel in the last 10 years. So Ant-Man and the Wasp was a very, like, down to, like... Only these characters are really affected. It's not even like this city's in danger. It's Ant-Man, Wasp, and Janet, who is the old Wasp.
You're basically saying that the storyline wasn't truly affected by what happened in Avengers.
No, it was before.
Yeah, it was kind of beforehand.
It was kind of side by side.
It was kind of parallel. Yeah.
Yeah. It was what was going on with Ant-Man during the events of Infinity War, why he wasn't involved in all that. It was a good movie.
It was a good side story to the major Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's a very good standalone story. It holds up on its own. Even if you haven't seen Ant-Man, you can figure out everything that's going on with this movie. You don't need to have that context of what happened in the first movie because even what happens in Civil War, which is mentioned, they kind of give you the details you need. Ant-Man was, you know, with a known criminal, Captain America. He's being put under house arrest, and that's kind of messing up his ability to be with his daughter. And then Hank Pym shows up again, and Hope shows up again, and they need his help to get apart from this guy, and that the story kind of continues from there for them to be able to go back into the quantum realm. And that's what the entire movie is about, is the quantum realm and being able to save Janet, who was the original Wasp who got trapped in there.
I think it's kind of funny because I remember seeing who's that one doctor? The doctor that flies around with the cape.
Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange. In the movie, I remember there was a part of a scene where they're talking about all the different, I think it's like different worlds that he can use or see. And one of them was...
You're talking about the multiverse.
The multiverse. I swear one of the multiverse like flashbacks was like in that world that they were in, that they were lost in.
The quantum realm is more like a place in each multiverse. It's think of it more like another dimension than an alternate reality.
Within the dimension that you're in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. If you try and understand comic
book logic. It's a dimension within
logic.
A dimension, but it's not another dimension.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't try and understand comic book logic. Nobody understands
it. I got that.
Even the people.
That was easy. It wasn't difficult.
Because even in every other multiverse, there's a quantum realm within that universe. And yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought it was a great movie. It's totally like take your kids, take your family. You're going to enjoy this one for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Lot of comic relief out of this one. So I laughed quite a bit.
There's a couple tearjerker moments. It's a wholesome movie. It's a very good one. And if you need to see like a slowed down Marvel movie after Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp was the perfect thing for them to release afterwards. Because next we're getting Captain Marvel, which is going to introduce Captain Marvel to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And that's going to have a lot of precedence in Avengers 4. So having this kind of sideway story that has nothing to do with Infinity War was very welcome. And I love it. 100%. Next on our list, though, is a movie that you're going to have to see a couple times to catch. Sorry to Bother You. This one is...
It had Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah, from Atlanta.
Yeah, I've been watching Atlanta. I'm all caught up on that. It's really good.
Yeah.
He plays Darius in Atlanta, and he's in his own movie. And I thought it was really good, man. I mean, I was the only one that was cracking up in the theater. I think I got all like the tropes and jokes and all the whatnot symbolism, but it may take a couple people a couple times to kind of analyze and kind of take a look at this a little bit deeper. It's not just taking it for what it's worth. You kind of have to look into it. You know, even his name, you know, has a meaning. You know,
everything is a metaphor.
Everything's a metaphor. Yeah.
You know, some kind of.
I think what you said, I think this was hilarious, is that you loved it and you hated it at the same time, Brad.
This movie?
Yeah. That's what you told me.
I don't recall saying
There was one scene that you loved and hated the most.
Which scene?
The rap scene.
Oh, I said that. No. What I said is that scene was just perfect because the theater I went to, it was dead silent. Like the movie, there were points where, you know, you could hear people like, you know, drinking and eating and, you know, laughing and everything. During that scene, silence. And for me, even though that scene is like such a powerful scene, like seeing it in that kind of environment where everybody just goes dead silent during it, it adds an extra layer to it.
Yeah.
And I didn't hate the movie at all. If there was anything that I hated about the movie, it's that I need to see it two more times after
just to
seeing
get everything.
It.
Yeah.
Or no, I think the only thing that I said is I hate that I saw a screening of this movie a month before it comes out in theaters because now I have to wait before I can see it again. That might have been the context where I said I hate this.
This is honestly, to me, this is one I'm going to get like Black Friday on like some super crazy edition.
Why? Because it's starring black people?
Yeah, exactly, Brad. I just want the crazy deals. Maybe they have a Black Friday edition. Who knows? I wouldn't be surprised.
They might. Yeah, because everything in this movie is a metaphor. Yeah. So even the character's name is Cassius with his last name Green. So Cash is Green. And everybody in the movie wants him to be, you know, seen as popular. He's seen as the most powerful person and his name is Cash. And everybody wants him. You know, everything in this movie is a metaphor.
I like this movie. It's like it's up there with I don't know. It's really good. I think I'm going to buy it on Blu-ray. It's one of those you're going to have to watch a couple times. There's a lot of symbolism. I'm going to like look into that a little bit more. Kind of like Fight Club. You know what I mean? Like
I'd say a lot more than Fight Club.
I didn't realize there's probably like blips and flips and like, you know, Easter eggs in there that I didn't realize that I'll probably see the third or fourth time around when you watch it with your friends, you know, that kind of movie.
I mean, this is one of those movies I definitely want to talk about, but talking about it spoils a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
You have to experience this movie. It's 100%. It is great characters. The plot is amazing. The symbolism it's not too in your face. It's just subtle enough and in your face enough for you to go, I got that. And other parts, you're going to go, it took two viewings before I got the symbolism of this scene. And because you'll see some parts of it, and then on second viewing, you'll be like, there's a whole other dimension to this movie
yeah.
and what they were saying with this scene. That's
so
amazing.
You're going to say pretty much what you're saying is the first time you see it, you're going to say, what did I saw? Okay, what did I really see? You know, like.
Right. And
it's just like.
If you're looking for a movie that you had to pay attention to every little thing that's happening, you're going to get a lot of good laughs out of it, and you're going to feel bad at the end of it. This is the movie that you need to see. It is absolutely wonderful in every way imaginable. And it's one of those movies I can't recommend enough to anyone. If you are a fan of movies in any kind of way, go see Sorry to Bother You. Own it on Blu-ray. Stream it. Whatever way you get to watch it, watch this movie. But it's time for us to get to the next movie.
Yeah,
which
we got a few more to roll through, and then I have some that are, you know, that I want to talk about that are not so popular that weren't blockbusters as well, real quick.
Well, there was Hello Neighbor, or not Hello Neighbor.
I even saw like another movie. I saw there was a documentary or like a biopic of Whitney Houston called Whitney.
Okay.
And it was kind of cool. Like I saw that on my own, and what was cool about it is they remastered a lot of the video and the sound and the footage and the images and all these cool things that they showed in the movie. So in a way, I learned about the story and the upbringing and the life and everything in between about her in a really good and positive light, which I appreciated. And the music was excellent. And the theater that I was in felt goosebumps, man, you know, because it was just done so well. So if you have maybe like a cool sound system in your house and you want to watch a cool biopic about, you know, a good singer from the past and, you know, how it focuses on her in a good light, but also gives the truth, it's worth your time. And it's just called Whitney. So that was one that I saw. And then the other one that I saw that was a biopic was called Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Won't You Be My
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was with Fred Rogers, you know, Mr. Rogers. And that was really, really good. I mean, my face was sweating just a little bit, you know, it was a little hot in the theater, you know.
Nearly everybody has grown up
really
with
good.
Mr. Rogers in some way, shape, or form. And he's one of those people that will always be missed in history. Kind of like Bob Ross, that everybody's going to know him and
it's just
be able to glean something from
it's him. Just basically, you know, they talk about what he did in a way, basically being in touch with their feelings is really what it's about.
Oh, yeah.
And it also kind of shows that it's kind of sad in the world that we live in today that we're kind of, you know, there's going to be a generation of children that are lost without those values that he's taught within us, you know, over a public television show. So there was more like of a gravitational influence that I didn't realize that he had on society in a way the past couple, you know, generations of children. That, you know, our future children are not going to be able to see unless we kind of show them this kind of stuff, you know, and there's going to be nobody like him ever again in a way that will influence kids in a way to be the way that they are. You
I
know?
Will say not never again. We don't have
I
somebody.
Just, it's
for
like a once. Yeah, I think it's a once in a generation type of thing. I mean, ain't no Blue's Clues. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's no SpongeBob SquarePants. You know, he was
well, he was also very controversial with a lot of things that he did in his show, too.
Yeah, he
like,
did.
He made a lot he of talked political
about,
statements.
He talked about to children what an assassination was, because it wasn't JFK. It was Robert Kennedy, I think, that got assassinated.
Yeah.
And one of his early.
Also, like, about divorce. All these
topics. Yeah, what's a divorce? Yeah, it was, dude, this stuff was, like, controversial back in the day, but he brought it up in a way that was, like, approachable to children to understand. And that kind of stuff, like, you really don't see anymore. It's just, you know, screens and tablets and stuff. And I just, I don't know. It just kind of, to me, I thought it was a great movie. It was really well done and it was well executed. And that's a movie that people should definitely check out. You know,
that
it's worth your while.
That one's probably going to be on streaming
and
services.
It might, you know, make your face sweat a little bit. And then another one that I kind of liked that gave me some comic relief was that Uncle Drew movie. I actually saw it in Orlando with Alex.
Yes.
Alex from, you know, the 8-Bit Waffles crew. We went to Waffle House. We, you know, had some glorious waffles that day. And we went to Disney Springs and they have an AMC theater in there. And we went to go see Uncle Drew. And I was actually, I mean, I get the, like, basketball. Like, I like to watch, like, and one basketball back in the day and, like, street ball. And I watch the Pistons every now and then. So I get all the cool moves and stuff. But, like, I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. I came out of there and it was more than expected. I thought it was, you know, it was pretty funny. So it's, it's a good one to see. So check it out if you want to laugh. You know, it's cool to see those players kind of look like old blood and they're trying to play against the young blood. It's all that old blood versus young blood thing going on. And I thought that was really good. But yeah, aside from that, I know, Brad, that you went to this movie, and I thought as well it was comedic gold the entire time, which is Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
This is the movie that I hate to love, 100%, because I grew up watching Teen Titans, which was a fantastic show.
Like the 2012 series, right? Like
2006 series.
2006 to 2012 or something like that.
2006 to, I think, 2009, 2010, maybe.
So the later part of the early, like the later part of the 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it might have even been like 2003 to 2006. I'd have to look it up. Yeah. But it was during my childhood of growing up and watching this, and it was the big show.
Then they cartoonified it in like a goofy Looney Tunes way.
It got canceled, and then it was a couple years later, Teen Titans Go appeared. And everybody was clamoring because it was the return of Teen Titans, and then we got Teen Titans Go. And it is vastly different from the Teen Titans that we got.
I think they're just trying to get the younger crowd.
Oh, it's 100%. Yeah. That's all it is.
It's a Cartoon Network. Dude, I see it like after I get out of work at like, you know, 6 o'clock in the evening.
That's because it's the only thing that plays on Cartoon Network
now. I know.
Now.
It's always 24 hours.
So it's
So I pop it on whenever, you know, it's on the TV, and I just like go about, you know, doing my thing.
See, I can't stand
dinner.
Watching that show. But at the same time, this movie I absolutely love.
I thought the movie was hilarious. Like, it was all comedy gold, pure comedy gold.
It's up there with Lego Batman and Deadpool in terms of like comic book satire movies. Cuz it takes references from everything, making fun of Marvel, DC, especially DC, because they're allowed to do it throughout the entire movie.
Oh, yeah.
Stan Lee even has a cameo in a DC movie.
Yeah, so that's the thing I love about DC the most, is that they think that their universe is the real universe. So they will always talk about Marvel or other things as if it's their
Well, in like, their like live real, action and
yeah,
stuff
no,
like
this
that.
Is like DC in general. Like all of DC does this. Like they just act like they're the true world, they're the real world, and everything around them is fiction. So Marvel to them and their true world is fiction. They're comic book heroes. So they're like, I see like when I watch the Flash TV show, they're like, oh, who do you think I'm angry? Like the Incredible Hulk? I'm like, wait, why are they referencing a Marvel thing in DC? But it's because they're the true world in their mind or in their universe.
Yeah.
So like it's cool to see that in this movie because you see it's a DC movie, but Stan Lee makes a funny appearance a bunch of times and then they like, you know, make it comedic. You know? Yeah.
The entire movie is comedy and it's stupid comedy and smart comedy at the same time.
My favorite scene, I don't want to spoil it, but my favorite scene was like Superman was like, oh yeah, try to stop me. And then they're like, oh yeah, they're like kryptonite party. And then they bump out the speakers, you know,
and then start throwing rocks at him.
They take like kryptonite crystals and they throw it in like a blender and make a kryptonite shake and they shove it down his throat. And then they just walk up to him while dancing and they throw a bunch of crystals on him and he just falls down and they just go keep doing what they're doing. And then one other scene, they like just take a little girl and just push her in the face and then just walk off. And it's just like, it's so cartoony, but it was like hilarious cartoony.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I don't know if I would take – would you take your kids to this one?
Oh, 100%.
What about that ending? Would you still
– Oh, 100%. Yeah. Doesn't matter to me. That movie is great. And it's definitely
it's
a movie made for kids.
Yeah.
It's made for comic book fans. It's made for movie fans. It's
– You want a movie to laugh with your kids if you have kids? Watch this.
See, I'll say, if you do not have any real like comic book knowledge, you're going to get a couple laughs out of it, but a lot of it's going to go over your head. If you are a fan of comic books, even if you don't have kids, go see this one. It's a great satire. If you watched Lego Batman and enjoyed that movie, you're going to be able to see this movie and enjoy it too. It is 100% made for kids and families and everything like that. Comic book fans, it's a good one. But then we got the movie that was made for the adults who grew up with Winnie the Pooh. Christopher Robin.
Yeah, grown up Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it. Like,
this movie follows the adult Christopher Robin who is trying to provide for his family.
Christopher Robin grows up. The movie.
Yeah.
That's it.
This is a tearjerker of
a movie. Oh, man. Dude. This is a polarity of emotion within this movie. It's either like swayed, like binary, like it's either one or zero. Like you're crying or you're not crying, at least when I saw this.
Well, like, that's what I told you when I originally saw it. I was
it's
like,
just,
dude,
my
it's,
God, it's just so like one or the other. It's no in between. There's like a little city chase scene and that was maybe the in between emotional moment. But it's either like it's swaying either one way or it's the other way. Like it's like. Or like you're just like watching it.
It's gleefully happy or horribly depressing. Those are the two modes this movie switches between constantly.
You only get two emojis in this movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie. Oh, and this they use the same like live action computer graphics, like computer CGI engine that they do in the other Disney live action movies. So I'm assuming, you know, like the new Lion King that's coming out, I think, is going to be built on the same type of digital graphics as this one.
I don't think so, because this one was – they made the characters more like stuffed animals.
Well, they
like
made they made them fuzzy. I get what you're saying with that. But I'm just saying with the graphics and the way that they did it, I just thought that was really good.
The movie definitely looks beautiful.
Yeah,
and you
it looks
get
nice.
The idea that these stuffed animals are real.
Yeah.
Even the way that they interact with them, they definitely have the Roger Rabbit effect where everything feels like it's interacting with everything else. You don't have those moments where you go, oh, that's a CGI teddy bear overlaid onto it. Whenever Winnie the Pooh does something, you know, like he's walking across the carpet, you can see the carpet start to unfold after he steps on it. Or even when he leaves behind, you know, Honey and starts walking on, you know, a rug, it starts to lift up with his foot. The world is connected and it's done so effortlessly seeming that you don't lose touch with what you're watching. You don't get that moment where you go, oh, hold on a minute. You know, is he really there? You know, so it's good. Definitely check it out.
So a movie that I saw, I don't think you saw, was The Darkest Minds. It was a teenage novel that turned into a film, kind of like The Maze Runner, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's like a teen fiction novel.
I remember seeing a trailer for that.
Yeah, so I actually saw that, and I never read the book, obviously, but when I saw it, it wasn't bad. I thought it was pretty good for not ever seeing or reading the book or anything. But I guess it has a lot of, you know, bad press online. And I think most of the people that are giving the bad press are actually just adults that obviously never read the book anyways. But I think that I would like to learn more and understand the perspective of somebody who's, you know, of age reading that and trying to read the book and then see this movie, what their perspective is on it, because I know that they're going to make a few more after this. So it'll be kind of interesting to see. But it wasn't bad. It felt like on the lines of like The Maze Runner or something like that.
Okay, so it was a made for kind of tweens movie?
Yeah, tweens movie, totally.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, I saw it.
Well, hold on. There was one other movie that was made for tweens that was absolutely perfect in every single way imaginable. And I hate this movie so much. I wish it didn't exist, but I am so glad it does and everybody needs to see it. Eighth Grade by Bo Burnham.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a great one.
That movie is horribly, horribly, horribly amazing in every single way.
Oh, you're just talking about that one scene, Brad.
The entire movie. I don't think there's a single time.
So for me, I felt when I was watching this movie and during the movie, at least from an immersion factor, that I was personally emotionally conveyed as if I was going through the same experiences as if I was in the eighth grade all over again.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I felt while watching this.
That's
the awkwardness, 100%. The weird feelings and all that stuff that you had to go through. But in a sense, it's still a modern – it's not a twist, but it's in a modern age. It's in the current realm. It's not like – being in the eighth grade when we were in the eighth grade, it's about being in the eighth grade.
The feelings are still all the same,
but the feelings are, yes, the feelings are all the same, but it's still, you know, it's still a different world than when we were kids.
Yeah, I've never watched a movie and curled up in a ball in a theater seat, just kind of going, I just want this to end. This actually is physically hurting me to watch because it's too accurate and I hate this. Why are you making me relive this? Stop it.
But it was great.
There are multiple scenes in the movie, like when she's on her phone and she's looking stuff up and her dad just opens the door and she freaks out and just throws her phone. I've never lost it so much in a theater before at a simple scene like that, where there was a solid, I think, 2 to 5 seconds where I couldn't breathe because I was laughing so hard at just that scene alone.
Yeah, and so that was really good. And it was Bo Burnham's first film.
He's
a stand-up comedian. That's where his background's from, right?
His background comes from making YouTube videos.
Okay.
So he did that, and then he became a stand-up comic, and now he's going into being a direct – well, he had two scripts made. This was one of them. The other movie, I think, is starting to go into some kind of like auction for being able to get into pre-production and everything like that, and I hope to God it gets made because I've read bits of that script and it is just as good as this movie. So if you have a child that's going into eighth grade or just got out of eighth grade, watch this movie and watch it with them. It is fantastic in every way possible, and I highly recommend it.
Another quick movie we should go over I liked, it's that Spike Lee movie, The Black Klansman.
That was a very good movie.
I liked it.
Until the last 5 minutes.
Oh, you didn't like that ending? I mean, that is totally a Spike Lee ending.
It was way too in your face.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Up until that, though.
And the whole movie up until that ending was,
It was a very good movie. But it stars Kylo Ren.
Yeah. And Denzel Washington's son.
Yep.
So I don't know their real names, but those are the people.
Yeah, it's one of those
David Washington Jr.
blanking on every actor, but I can tell you what they've played in other movies.
I'll tell you this. They did such a good job, I don't even know who they are in real life. I just know them as the actor and what role they were in.
Yeah, they definitely pulled that movie together really well.
I mean,
and it's accurate too.
Spike Lee, like if you've seen a lot of Spike Lee and you know a lot of Spike Lee, this might be a good one for you. Not a lot of people have seen a lot of his work, but if I were to compare it to what I've seen over the years that Spike Lee has made, I actually compare this more to a little bit of his old school stuff than his new school stuff. So just know about that. And it's very polar, you know, and that's okay. I mean, you got to walk in with that mindset that it's going to be like that, and it's going to be kind of, what would you say?
It's
kind of current, but kind of...
Yeah, it takes the theme of... Well, it's based on an actual story. There is an actual Ron Stallworth, and he actually went and saw this movie and absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And...
But don't... Yeah, I want to get into it more. Aside from, you know, it's polarizing, it's pretty good, and it's kind of current, even though it was in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely one to check out.
Another one that I saw that... It's kind of weird, Brad, but... I walked in, I was thinking this is going to suck, and it was stupid, and I actually walked out. That was actually weird, but better than expected. It was The Spy Who Dumped Me. You know, it was kind of weird, but for a chick flick, it was kind of good. I think Kate McKinnon being kind of typecasted as that, like, I think that's her name. I don't know if that's her name, but Kate something. Either way, she played a role
from
pretty well.
SNL? Yeah.
Yeah, she was in it. And then another one that I thought was like a little bit, I walked in like, okay, this is going to stink, but it was actually a little bit better than expected, was Ocean's 8, because that was another summertime movie.
See,
I
had to see that one still. Yeah. I heard
it was okay.
Very mixed things about it.
Yeah. And then I saw that Denzel Washington movie, Equalizer 2, and I would say that's exactly as good as the first one, if you've seen the first one. Yeah, but no more and no less.
Hmm. Yeah, because that one didn't even hit my radar.
It's not one of those ones that are on anyone's radar, but it is actually when you compare it, because I actually saw that first one a couple days before on like a cable network channel or something. So I had a little refresher on the movie, and then I walked in watching the second one, and I was like, I see all the connections in between.
Yeah, but... The movie that does wrap up the summer of movies, which actually comes out this weekend, we got a chance to see.
Oh, well, I saw Crazy Rich Asians. That was a really good summer movie, too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that one was awesome.
Yeah. Dude, that cast was stellar. All Asian cast. Oh, dude, it was like pure money in the movie. It was great. I mean, it was kind of weird. Like, I get it. I get the movie. But one thing I found kind of odd is that you never see the father in the movie the entire time. Like, she flies all the way over there to meet her, like, you know, boyfriend's family, but you never meet the dad once. And I get it. It's Crazy Rich Asians, but, I mean, it was just weird. But aside from that, it was really, really good. And that's worth checking out, too.
Yeah.
And then what was the one that's going to wrap up the summer?
Happy Time Murders.
Oh, yeah.
So... Basically, Avenue Q, the movie.
Avenue Q plus, like, Crank Yeagers, you know, in between. Plus Roger Rabbit, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Yeah. They had the same kind of...
I wouldn't add that one in there, but...
Yeah, I would. I would add Who Framed Roger Rabbit into there,
but
for sure.
This one is definitely... It's one that you... You're going to laugh all
the way through it.
It
was comedy gold.
Yeah.
It was pure comedy gold. I was like watching it and I was laughing at a joke that I heard like 5 minutes ago in the movie, but like, you know, later. So I was still laughing at a joke for 5 minutes straight that I heard.
Yeah. The entire movie, you're going to be laughing through it. And you're also going to go, I'm a terrible person for laughing at that, but that is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it plays on a lot of like racial stereotypes where everybody hates on puppets. So there's all these racial slurs that people say against puppets throughout the entire movie, but everybody else gets along fine. It's a really great movie. Do not bring your kids to this
one. No, this is not.
Do not see this one with your parents.
No, this is not a kid movie. This is not a family movie. This is like a...
Go to see this one alone.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I mean, take your crude friends with you.
Yeah.
You know.
Take those friends with you that make jokes that make you kind of go, you're terrible people and I'm a terrible person for being around you. Let's go see this movie together.
But that's why we get along, so let's go see this.
Because, yeah, it is not in quality terrible, but in context, it is a terrible movie. So it's got a lot of raunchy humor, a lot of bad humor. It's great, and I love it. Go see this
movie. I laughed
movie.
A lot.
Oh, yeah, I was
I
laughing
so
throughout
much
the movie.
The whole time.
Yeah. But that is where we have to wrap up. But because the summer is over does not mean that the fun has to end. Do you know what you can do for the rest of the year, though, Darshan?
I have to catch up on these movies that I've missed, but aside from that, what's that?
You can sign up for a one-month free trial to Audible.com by going to audible.com/Detroit or texting Detroit to 500-500. And with that, you'll be able to get a one-month free trial, which at the end of, you get to pick a free audiobook that you can keep forever. And right now, if you want to check out a book that I definitely love and highly recommend, the original Jurassic Park book. It's based on this amazing franchise that everybody should amazingly love. And they made a movie about it, and it's a great movie, and that's where it should have stopped. But you can check out the book that actually started it all, which there's a lot in that book that didn't actually make it into the final cut of the movie. So it makes it a very amazing thing to check out. And it is on there, and it is 15 hours in length for that book.
And how long of a subscription do you get with that code that you send?
By signing up with the free trial, you get 30 days.
So 30 days, that's pretty good amount to listen to a book. So if you feel like, you know, looking into the sequel of the book, because I think there is a sequel to that book as well, right? You can actually look
there
into that.
There is a sequel, but it is not made by the same people, I believe. But yeah, with that free trial, you get one free audiobook for the month that you get to actually keep at the end of your trial. You get access to exclusive sales of various audiobooks on Audible and 30% off regularly priced audiobooks. So there is a lot of content on there. It unimaginable amount of books are on here. I don't think you could listen to all of them in a lifetime, but you can listen to them on your iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows Phone, downloading in the app to your iOS device, Android, Amazon Fire tablet, or Windows Phone. And with, you know, other streaming services, as soon as you stop signing up for it, you lose access to everything. That's not the case with Audible. With Audible, you can get this book, Jurassic Park, and decide you want to listen to it 2 years from now. You can do that when, you know, the next terrible movie comes out and you need a refresher on what is actually a good Jurassic Park story.
One of my favorite features is that it's got a sleep timer built in.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
Especially if you have a commute on your ride home from work or to work.
Or just want to listen to a nice book before you go to bed.
Throw an audiobook up. Like Jurassic Park. It's amazing, truly.
Or all the other books that are available.
There's plenty of other books on there. But check out Jurassic Park because it's a good book. But again, if you want to sign up for that free trial, you can go to audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500 today and start your 30-day free trial. And your first audiobook is free. Use it on whatever you want, like Jurassic Park. So until next time, that has been The Breakfast Table.